All right, that was wonderful, ladies. Thank y'all so much. I know y'all have kind of scattered out, but if you can hear me out there, that was awesome. Just appreciate it. That's so cool. A lot of practice, I'm sure. Just thank y'all for that. If you got your Bibles tonight, go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 4, second book of the Bible, Exodus chapter 4. And I'm going to be reading verses 10 through 17. Verses 10 through 17. Once you get there, if you would, just stand up to honor the reading of God's Word tonight. Again, Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 17. Starting in verse 10, it says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or who makes the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? And I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he comes forth to meet thee. And when he sees thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be in thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God." And verse 17 says, "And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs." If you would be seated and bow with me as we pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. And God, I just pray right now that you would move me aside, that you'd speak through me, that you would just open up the hearts of every person in front of me, that we'd be receptive tonight of what you would have to say to us. God, I pray for clear minds and clear hearts. God, we thank you for just this opportunity to worship together and gather together. Pray that you'd bless the rest of the service. We can sense your presence already. God, we thank you, we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight I'm speaking on this subject, God will equip you. God will equip you. So I'm fascinated by the story of Moses, by his life, by his relationship with God, by the things that he went through. I am just absolutely fascinated by it. Because when I think of Moses, I think of one of the most influential leaders in the history of all time. I think of this man that was willing to stand up and follow God and lead a nation of Israel out of captivity from Egypt. But then I also think back to a time where Moses struggled with his call. He struggled with what God was telling him to go do. He felt inadequate. He felt that he couldn't do it. He thought, who am I that God would send me? You've got the wrong guy. And I just think about the life of Moses. I go back to all the way when he was born. Moses was never supposed to be alive in the first place. There was a new king in rule, and he saw all the Israelites, and he said, there's too many of them. So what we're going to do is when they give birth to a baby boy, we're going to throw them in the river. We're going to kill them because this king wanted the Egyptians to rule and the Israel nation to be in slavery. And so Moses was never supposed to be alive in the first place, but his mother hid him for 3 months. And then y'all know the story, sent him down the river in a basket, or in King James where it says an ark. Y'all have seen the storybooks of the children, him floating down the river in a basket. And wouldn't you know it, that Pharaoh, King Pharaoh's daughter, is the one that ends up adopting Moses. I mean, it's amazing to see how God's hand of protection was on Moses from the very beginning, the absolute very beginning. He's raised with the Egyptians, and he sees the Israel nation in slavery, his own people enslaved. And so one day he sees an Egyptian man smiting or beating one of his people, one of the Hebrew nation. And he gets mad and he looks around, he looks left, he looks right, he looks around, makes sure that no one else is around, and he kills that Egyptian man. And he thinks, okay, well, nobody's seen it. He hides him in the sand. But then he finds out later, as two of his people are fighting with each other, he says, why are you fighting with each other? And they basically say, who are you? We saw the Egyptian man. You killed him. And King Pharaoh hears word of this. King Pharaoh now knows that Moses has killed one of the Egyptians, and he's angry. He's out to get Moses. He's after him. And Moses, in fear, runs away from him. Okay? And we start to get to this point of Moses, he becomes a shepherd. He goes to the well. Y'all know the story. This is all background right now. Y'all know the story. He goes to the well, and Jethro's daughters were there, and he helped them. And then Jethro invited him to dinner. and then ends up making him one of the shepherds over his flock. So now Moses is comfortable. He's in a spot where he is safe. He has a family. He's a shepherd. He's got a job to do every day. He's got purpose. He's got it all figured out. He's got his plan figured out. And then one day he's going out, and y'all know the story of the burning bush. God talks to Moses through a burning bush that's not consumed by the fire. And he tells Moses of this calling that he's going to go and he's going to tell King Pharaoh to let his people go, that they're going to free the nation of Israel out of slavery from Egypt. And so I just think of the life of Moses, the decisions that he would have to make, and the call on his life. And I think about God equipping us. You know, a lot of times God will tell us to do something and we try to come up with every excuse not to do it. And then I read something, it's a famous quote by Henry Blackaby, one of my favorite writers, but he says, "If we will walk closely with the Lord today, we will be in the center of His will tomorrow." Okay, and I thought about that quote a lot. If we'll just walk closely with Him today, if we will be obedient today, He will show us tomorrow. There's nothing to worry about tomorrow. There's nothing to be afraid of tomorrow. We just sang two songs that says, "I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not worried about it anymore." So we look at Moses as, like I said, one of the most influential leaders in history, a man of God. And I think sometimes we see people in the Bible and we put them up on a pedestal. I could never be that. I could never lead a nation out of slavery. I could never stand up for what I believe in front of a king. I could never do these things. But remember, Moses was human, just like me and you, exactly like me and you. He had doubts. He felt inadequate. He felt that he couldn't do what he was called to do. And so he tried to give God every excuse in the book, every excuse that we would think of today. But you know, God doesn't want our excuses. He wants our obedience. He knows our lives. He knows our situations. He knows our circumstances. So why would we try to excuse ourselves and tell God, "Hey God, I know that you're calling me to do this. I know that this is what you want me to do, but see, you don't know this about me." God knows everything about you. Moses was trying to tell God, "Look, I'm slow of speech. I'm not eloquent. Who am I that I can go?" And God's saying, "I will be with you." Moses gave him three different excuses, actually four different excuses. The first one, he said, "Go unto Pharaoh." And the first one was, "Who am I? I'm a nobody. I'm a shepherd out here. You've got the wrong person, God. You don't know what you're talking about." And he's trying to excuse him. And God immediately says, "I will be with you." But then Moses says, "Well, wait, God, you didn't think about this. When I go, they're going to ask me, 'Who sent you? Who sent you to tell us this? And what am I supposed to tell them?'" And God gives him an immediate answer right after that and says, "Go and tell them, 'I am has sent you.' And they will know exactly who you're talking about. They'll know that it was from me." And Moses is saying, "Okay, well, that's good and all, and I believe you, but I don't know. I just still don't think they're going to listen to me." He's continuing to give God excuses because he's not showing the faith that God will equip him for what he needs to do. He's nervous. He's scared. He's got to go back to the land of Egypt that he just fled from because a king was after him to kill him. And so he's coming up with these excuses. And he's saying, "I can't do this." The third excuse that he comes up with is, what am I supposed to show them? How are they going to know? And so God gives him three signs, three wonders to show these people that he was sent by God. He says, "Throw your rod down on the ground. It's going to become a serpent. And you're going to be able to pick that up and it's going to become a rod again. And then you can take your hand and you can put it right behind your cloak, your jacket, your shirt. And you'll pull that out and your hand will be leprous. And then you're going to put your hand back in it and you're going to take it out and you're going to be clean. It's not going to be leprous anymore." And if that doesn't do it, look at this. In verse 9 of chapter 4, it says, "It shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither listen to thy voice, thou shalt take of the water of the river, pour it on a dry land, and the water which thou take out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land." Three signs that he's saying, "Go and show them, and they will know that this is from me, that I am sending you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be stricken with anxiety. I will equip you with what you need." And then in chapter 4, the very first verse, "And Moses answered and said, 'But,'" and that was right before he asked for those signs. It's another excuse. How often do we come up with excuses? Do we put ourselves in a box thinking that God's got the wrong person, that God can't do a mighty work in us like he did in Moses? Remember, I told y'all, Moses, one of the most influential leaders of all time. but he struggled with this very thing. He struggled with understanding that God would go before him, that God would fight for him, that God would strengthen him and uphold him and be there for him every second of the way. That God never leaves his people, that God never forsakes us, that he's with him always. And God called him to do this because he believed in him. He had a purpose for him, a plan for us. And every single Christian has a plan from God for their lives. But the question is, are we willing to be obedient day by day? Day by day. You see, a lot of us expect for God to give us a map, a full map that shows us our whole life planned out. Well, once God answers this question and this one, then I'll be obedient. Then I will say, okay, God, I can do this because I know what the end result is going to be. Instead, God is asking us to be obedient day by day and go in the small steps. You know how to unlock what God's calling you to do next? Is to be obedient in the first step. And that's something really important to remember. If we hold on and wait and say, okay, God, you've told me to do this and then this, but I don't know what's going to happen next. I can't do it until you tell me. We're never going to be in the center of his will for our lives because we're not willing to trust and put our faith in him. And so Moses angers God because of these excuses. God's given him answer after answer after answer. And God, it says that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Because after all this, telling him he'd give him signs, that he'd be with him, that he would tell the people himself who sent him, I am has sent me. Moses says, oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of tongue. I can't speak. The Egyptians, they're not going to listen to me. No one's going to listen to me. I can't speak in front of them. And in verse 11, God says, remember who I am. That's what I get from verse 11. I read it and it immediately popped to me. Remember who I am. I am Lord. I've made you for a purpose and I know your purpose better than you do. God knows our purpose better than we ever will. He knows our plan for our lives better than we ever will. He understands our lives and where we are at. And he's willing to take us to the next step if we will just be obedient. But after that in verse 11 and verse 12, God says, I will be with your mouth and I will teach you what you should say. Assuring Moses again, it's going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay. I will equip you. I will give you all the tools you need to go forth and pursue what I've told you to do. But just trust me. And here we go. Moses again, he says, please send somebody else. I need somebody else to go. I can't do this. He's not willing to be obedient. One of the most influential leaders in history. Right there where we find ourselves sometimes, falling into our excuses, falling into our failures, our inadequacies, where we feel like we can't do it. My sophomore year of college, a few weeks before I got started, I got an email from some of the staff at the college, and they said, you know, hi, Mr. Custer, we just want to let you know some faculty and staff have recommended you to be the freshman convocation speaker this year. And I sat back and I was like, what's a convocation? Like, I had no idea. Like, I've never had an issue talking in public. I don't mind getting up on a stage. I've never had that trouble. But they sent it back to me, and they were kind of talking to me about what I needed to do, that there were many students nominated to speak at the freshman convocation. There'd be about 1,000 people in the stands in the auditorium. There'd be professors and doctors but behind me, and the president of the university would be sitting right there beside me. I'd get to go up and make this speech, and I'm sitting there like, me? Like, I'm just TJ. Like, that's, you know, like, I'm not fancy like that. Like, I don't have a doctorate. I don't know why you would even think to nominate me for this. And then I started to realize they were choosing me to speak in front of that 1,000 people, in front of doctors and professors, people that are much more intelligent than I'll ever be. They were doing that because they believed in me, because they thought that I was the person for the job, okay? Think about when God tells you to do something, when God calls you to do something, he knows that you are the person for the job. He was angered against Moses because Moses was saying, you're wrong, God, it's not me. Send somebody else. And so God, in assurance again, says, okay, fine, your brother Aaron, I'll send him. Well, you can go with him. He'll be your spokesperson. I'm going to equip you with what you need. And once we see that Moses is willing to be obedient step by step, that is when we see him become the most influential leader. When we see the man of God that we read about in Scripture, when we see a person that was willing to go to Pharaoh and be confident and be bold, knowing that God was with him always. I am so glad that I have a God that is with me always, that I don't have to worry about tomorrow, that I can be freed from my anxiety, that I can know that if I will be obedient today, I will be in the center of His will tomorrow, that if I will be obedient today, He will show me the next step of my life. I don't need the full roadmap. I'm not worried about 5 years down the road. I am called right now to be the middle school youth pastor at Grace Baptist Church, and I am 100% fine with that. I love that. I'm excited about it. I don't have to worry about, well, in 10 years, what's going to happen? God is going to take care of that. God's going to call me when He wants to call me, and I'm going to do my absolute best to be obedient in that. But you don't have to be called to be a preacher. You don't have to be called to be a missionary or an evangelist or a singer, a music minister, a children's minister. You don't have to be called to be those things to listen to God's plan for your life. There's many other calls. Brian talked this morning just about being kind to people, being nice to people, and how far that goes. It pays to be nice. We're called as Christians to be loving, to be forgiving. And if we can't do that, how are we supposed to be obedient to God? If we can't just say, God, I'm going to be obedient in the things that You want me to be obedient in as a Christian, how can we walk closely with Him? How can we have a relationship with Him? How can we go right and know that He has a plan for us and a purpose for us if we're not willing to just say, God, You've got this. I know You'll equip me. I don't know the end result, but You'll give me all the tools that I need. See, to equip means to give all the tools necessary, to give everything that you need to get the job done. And that's all God was trying to tell Moses. That's all He was trying to say. And Moses was not willing to just say, okay, God, You've got this. You've got this situation. You want this to be done, and You can get it done, and You want to do it through me, I'll step up and take it. I will go for it. I'll get up to the plate, and I will swing. You know what I'm saying? I love being able to know that God has it. It's in His hands. Your life right now is in God's hands. He is with you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. And He is willing to have a close personal relationship with you. The creator of our universe, a close personal relationship with you, and guide you through life. But you've got to be willing to trust in Him. You got to be willing to have faith in Him. You got to be willing to know He might not tell you every single detail. He might not tell you exactly what's going to happen a year from now as a result of what He's calling you to do right now. But that's okay, because I want to be with Him today. I want to make sure that every day of my life, I'm trying my best to glorify God. I'm trying my absolute best to give Him all the glory and do what He wants me to do. And that should be the goal of every single Christian, not just preachers or singers or, like I said, evangelists. It should be the goal of every Christian to be in the center of God's will for their life, because you'll experience so much more peace, so much more joy, so much more just happiness, knowing that God has your back, that you're not going against Him, that you're not struggling because you don't want to just submit to Him. You're not trying to make excuses because you feel inadequate. There's been many times in ministry, when I was teaching, throughout my life, that I felt inadequate, that I felt that I didn't deserve to be where I was at. I had a lot of success in teaching. I only taught for 1 year, but it was so cool to look back and see, wow, that was amazing. I never thought I could achieve that, and I was able to. And then I get a job here at Grace Baptist Church, the best church ever. Can I get an amen, right? The best church ever. I mean, it's amazing. And I did. I felt inadequate at times because of my age. I would tell my wife, Courtney, I just don't feel like I deserve this because of my age. I'm just young. I'm inexperienced. And it took a lot of learning to just know, you know what? I might be young, but I just want to preach the Bible. I just want to show people who Christ is, who Jesus is in our lives, and how we can have a relationship with Him. And it doesn't matter how old I am to be able to do that. And Courtney's right there with me. She's younger than me. So in times of feeling inadequate, when we decided to step aside and just trust and know that, okay, whatever, we're young and we're inexperienced, but we love Jesus. We want to make sure that we're portraying Jesus to the world. And it doesn't matter how old we are for that. God laid that feeling of inadequacy aside. He laid my worries aside because I said, I'm tired of worrying about what's to come later. I want to know what You'd have me to do now. And like I said, that should be the goal of every single Christian in this building tonight. What does God want you to do right now? What is He calling you to do right now? And what excuses have you made up to this point? We're all human. It's scary. to think about changing a lifestyle, changing careers, whatever it may be. But God's laid something on your heart, and you've struggled with it. You've struggled making the commitment, knowing that God's got it. It's going to be okay. Living in His plan for your life is far better than your own plans. I can promise you that. So even though it's scary, even though it's nerve-wracking, even though we can be like Moses and say, you've got the wrong person, trust in God and know that He will equip you, that He will give you all the tools necessary to do what He has called you to do. Because He didn't call somebody else, it was you. He called me to go into full-time ministry, not somebody that was sitting beside me that day. I didn't say, God, you got the wrong guy. I wanted to come forward and say, I want to give my all. I want to work for the Lord. I want to be a servant. We can all be servants. We can all be willing to follow God. But as I've already said, it takes trust and faith and daily obedience. Daily obedience. It's difficult being a Christian. People are looking at us. People are waiting on us to fall. People are waiting on us to say the wrong thing. But we can have peace knowing that we serve a God that's with us, will give us the words to say, will give us the things to do, will give us opportunities in front of us to proclaim His name. Doesn't matter about us, matters about God. I want people to see God. I don't care if people know my name. I don't care. I want people to know who God is. And I want that to be the goal for every Christian. I want it to be the goal for every Christian to trust, to put faith in God, to know without a doubt every single day that we don't have to worry, we don't have to be afraid, we don't have to fret over the things of the future because God has it in His hands. God is with us always. And don't ever forget that. Don't ever get over that. When you become saved and you become a Christian, you start a personal relationship with God that never goes away. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't put you on call holding, okay? He's just ready for you. He wants to take you to the next step. He wants to communicate with you and speak to you. And we should want to hear Him. We shouldn't want to go our own way. We should want to say, God, I want to know what You would have me to do, and I'm going to be obedient in it. And so tonight, we're getting ready here in closing, okay? Tonight, I want you to think about this. Think about it really hard. Has God called you to do something? Has God been speaking to you about something that you just think, it's not me. There's no way. My life, are you serious? Like, God, you've got the wrong person. Recognize Moses was a normal person. He was a shepherd. He was comfortable. He had a job, a family, and God turned his life upside down. He didn't want it at first, but as we see his story going through Exodus and leading these people, one of the most influential leaders in history, because he was willing to be obedient. What's holding you back from being obedient tonight? What excuse are you harboring that you say, I just can't do it? Let that go tonight. Be obedient today and tomorrow and the next day. God will take care of the future. God knows your life. He knows your situation. And He's willing to equip you, give you all the tools necessary to do exactly what He would have you to do. So as Brent, he's going to get up and he's going to come start playing. Think about that tonight. If you need to lay an excuse down, if you need to stop running, if you need to understand that obedience to God is far greater than disobedience, I can promise you that. Let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes.